Last week, we started a series on God, and it's called The Ultimate God. This week is The Planning God, and I'd like to ask Nick, go ahead and read on the back of your notes. There is Psalm 105, verses 16 through 22, and this is a little portion of Psalm 105 that I want us to focus on today. Go ahead.
When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supplies of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom.
Amen. Let's go ahead and put the next verse up. We're going to build it on this, but I want you to look at with me. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. Read this aloud with me, everyone. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. The word plans is in there twice. And if you'll notice, well, tell you what, let's go ahead and do the first fill in the blank. First fill in the blank says God plans ahead. God plans ahead. He summoned the famine on the land and broke all supple of bread. So there was a planning ahead. When he did this, he planned a famine, he's planned a flood. How many remember Noah and the flood? God says, we're going to have it rain for a long time. So he planned ahead. He planned for the promised land. He planned for the tabernacle by speaking into people's lives, and he raised up people. He planned the time of Jesus coming. So God's a planner. God has plans for you. They're good ones. God has a plan for your welfare to give you a future and a hope. And his plans for you are not evil. And if you've had tough struggle times, they weren't God's plans. Are you there? His plans for you, let's say that his plans for me are not evil. Now, I did take a little time last week and talk about the fact that there is Father God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in him, every good and perfect gift comes from him. And in him, there is no variance or shadow of turning, that it is impossible for God to do evil. It is impossible. But there's another Father. And when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they got a new dad. And he's Satan, and he's the author of all lies. And he means you harm. And that's why there's such great confusion when it comes to people saying stuff like, well, if God was good, why this happened to me? You got the wrong God. That's amazing. Because when you turn to the Lord, and how many of you feel like if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, that part of your mind has to be renewed? Hey, listen, I had just finished all the studying and had put this a lot of this message together on Friday, and was coming back, and I was coming off the south exit, and from Fairmont. And you know how you have to, if you're coming from the south, looking to the south, you've got to kind of gawk and look back there. It's real uncomfortable trying to figure out if there's any cars. I pulled up and I realized, no, that's not it. Bam! Somebody runs behind me. Hits me, back ends me. Now, here's that unrenewed part of my mind. What did I do wrong? Why didn't God protect me from this? Well, I wasn't hurt. Guess what? And, you know, sometimes you can get slumpy like that. Let me tell you exactly what happened. There was a person behind me, nicest person in the world. If you were going to be hit from behind, it would be this person. You would appreciate this person doing it because they acknowledged that it was all their fault. And even the next morning, their insurance company called me and setting everything up. It was like they're taking care of me, right? But this is what happened. There was a person who wasn't looking what they were doing, and they hit me. They have a free will, and they weren't looking what they're doing. God had nothing to do with it. A person wasn't looking. They look over here, and they thought I moved, and then I didn't move. You know, we've all been in those kind of situations. So God's good. Let's go say it. God's good. My Father God in Jesus is good to me. Amen? Now, God plans ahead. He planned ahead with Noah. Spent a lot of time building the ark. Then he sent the rain. He planned for Jesus to come. Set up how many, like over what? At least 600 prophecies declaring that Jesus would come. Sets up a time for Jesus to come. Years ago, over 100 years ago, God spoke to a church family that used to have their church up on the where the police department is, and told them to come and build a building here. He was planning ahead. And he opened up a robust spirituality and a way to serve the community out of this building for years and years and years and years and years. And then he was still planning ahead, and he puts on some people's hearts to come and restore it, which is extremely like God. Nehemiah did this. And you know what's funny about God? God will take a cupbearer in Nebuchadnezzar's court, I mean in Babylon, he'll take a cupbearer who knows nothing about construction. God will give you a passion for something that you have no ability to do, so he gets all the glory. God will take a musician and a wife who loves to implement ministry and say, there you go, babies. And he's planning ahead. And in fact, let's go ahead and put up this next scripture, and then we'll go. And this is the reason. Seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Be a blessing. How many of you feel like you're supposed to be a blessing? How many of you struggle with actually being a blessing? That's why you're here. God's going to empty that out of your life. And this is how. Let's go ahead and point. Read this with me. God plans ahead for you to be what he needs at a certain time in history. He plans ahead for you to become what he needs. So now we're going to go to point number two. And this will take a little longer. Ready? God develops his people through character tests for partnership with him in his plan. Once you get that, I'll read it. We'll go back over it. Here's the next part. Verse 17 out of Psalm 105 says, he sent a man ahead of them. See, God was calling for a famine. He was going to call for, he was summoning the earth. They said, we're going to go through a season of famine. And he sent a man ahead of them. And Joseph was that man. And he was sold as a slave. He was 17 years old. He sold as a slave. Later it says, his feet were hurt with fetters, his neck was put in a collar of iron. And then verse 19. Would you look at this verse 19 with me? We'll camp on this for a little bit. We're going to look at it in another version as well. Until what he had said had came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. In Psalm 105, in the Amplified Bible, it says it this way. Until the time that his word of prophecy regarding his brothers came true, the word of the Lord tested and refined him. And that's in your notes. So here's what happened. Joseph is very highly favored from his dad because his dad finally has a baby with the woman he loves the most. So now he gets Joseph. And let me go ahead and just tell you this. You have people marrying more than one wife in the Old Testament. And I want to tell you how the Bible teaches about marrying more than one. First of all, the Bible is absolutely against marrying more than one person. The Bible teaches having a lifelong commitment with one person and one person only. Are you ready for this? The proof, see, because people don't know how to read the Bible, all the problems come out of having more than one wife. And if you know how to read biblical narrative, you'll realize this has gone wrong. Yep. And God, here's the key. God uses our failures to promote his kingdom. Even in the midst of our failures, God's a redeemer. Hallelujah. Hey, go ahead and say, thank you, Jesus. He can take anything that you have done wrong or it's been done wrong to you, and if you press into him and turn to him, he will unravel the pain, the hurt, the bondage, whatever's involved in that, and unravel that in a way and get involved in it to cause it to be a strong point of a flow of his life through you. It's amazing. And I got proof. I was going to say, funnily, you know, that's my story and I'm sticking with it. But the fact of the matter is, God has taken everything that's been broken in me and turned it into a viable ministry gift for his kingdom. Everything. Everything that's been a painful thing to my life. He's turned around. So he develops people through character tests for partnership with him in his plan. Let's look at the verse now. It says, he had sent a man ahead of them. Is that what's next or not? Yeah. He sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. And now let me just camp there for a minute. Let me just say this. Joseph, in addition to being this favored son, is given this coat, and it's got these many colors on it, and he's walking around like a peacock, literally. He's so proud. Oh, so proud, because he's favored of his dad. And then on top of that, as a 17-year-old, get this, as a 17-year-old, God gives him a dream, and he has this dream where out in the field, all these sheaths of, I didn't say if it's wheat or barley, but it just says sheaths in the field, they all rise up, and they bow down to his sheath. And the brother's going, what are you talking about? We're supposed to bow down to you? And they're really, really ticked. Really, you talk about guys that are, they're mad as fire now. And then he has another dream. And here's the crazy thing about it. He goes and tells them this one too. And he's got the moon and the stars, and all the moon and the stars all come and bow down to him. Now, when God gives you a dream or me a dream, usually it's about something about us. But ultimately, it's not about us. As we'll see in the story of Joseph's life, ultimately it's not about us at all. It's about serving others. And so, go back to that other verse. When it says, no, amplified one, until the time that his word of prophecy regarding his brothers came true, they did bow down to him. We'll get to that. They did bow down to him. But until that happened, the word of the Lord tested and refined him. By the way, his brothers faked his death and put animal blood on the coat and gave the coat to their father, and then they sold Joseph to a slave caravan of Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of gold, which today is around 11 bucks. How would you like to be sold off by your brothers for $11? So here you go, though. Here's the point. Go ahead to the next one. If you're going to build a great building, you first need to build a big foundation. A deep foundation. If you're going to build a tall building, you're going to need to build a deep foundation. You're going to deal with something. And the next one, he says, character development is crucial in God's purposes because, somebody needs to look at this with me, your gifting can open doors for you that your character cannot stay. God wants to do something big inside of you so that he can do something great through your life. You can see very skilled and very gifted people get promoted beyond their character and then crash and burn and wound a lot of people. Are you there? Does everybody agree with this? How many of you have certain skills and stuff, and you have dreams in your heart that God's going to do these things, and you're moving along with it, and you run into some tests? And that's what we want to talk about here. The biblical pattern, let's go ahead and look at Psalm 66:10 says, for you, O Lord, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. There's proof positive that God tests through fire. Isaiah 48, verse 10, behold, I've refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. Yay. Now listen, I just love the furnace of affliction so much. No, you have been refined, but not as silver. I've tried you in the furnace of affliction. We've laid hold of a big vision here, and we've gone through different kinds of fires. Okay, Hebrews 5:8. Although he was a son, this is about Jesus now. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Although he, Jesus, was a son. So even Jesus Christ, even Jesus Christ, perfect God, lays aside all of his privileges as God, comes down to the earth, and in human flesh learns obedience through suffering. So if you're going to follow Jesus, that's the pattern. Say, yay, help, ouch. You know, it's kind of interesting to preach on this theme because nobody wants to listen to it. Everybody wants blessing with no, all gain with no pain. Hey, that sounds good. That's a bunch of buoy, yeah. Because if you're going to develop in anything God can use, he's going to run you through some tests. What kinds of tests? Have you ever thought about that? What kinds of tests develop your character? Think on this just for a minute with me. What kinds of tests? I have a test that happens very often. If I'm late for church, a slow car gets in front of me. That's just a little test. It's not really the kind of test I'm talking about, but here's the deal. God says, would you build margins into your lives so that you can drive slow too and be there ahead of time? How many of you need that message? But what kind? Here's a secret. I want to tell you a big secret. This is a big secret that many people have get hung up in and they never get it right, and they go to their grave bitter and never fulfilling the call that God has on their life and never developing the things, never fulfilling what God has intended, because this is the kind of test. Ready? Next slide. Unjust treatment. Undeserved treatment. This is the key. This is the key. Has anybody in here ever been treated in a way they didn't deserve it? Now here's the point. I think I have this later, but this is a pathway. Undeserved treatment and how you respond to it determines greatly what God can do in your life. David walked through this. Joseph walked through this. Look, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Now that's some lifelong bitterness right there. Possibly. But Joseph didn't respond that way. He didn't respond in bitterness. In fact, let's go ahead and look at a couple of the things that God will test you with. God will test our hearts for pride to see if we live humbly before Him and before people. How many of you would like to come up and share your testimony right now of how God's dealt with your pride? Anybody? Are there testimonies in the room? Okay. So this is some summary of what's in the house. I'll go ahead to the next one. God tests our hearts for bitterness. And this is a biggie. To see if we will forgive those who've hurt and offend us and be a blessing representing Jesus. Massive, massive test. There are folks that still have something that happened years and years ago. And I'm not saying any of this passing these tests is easy, especially if it crippled you or deformed you as a child and had some massive, horrible thing happen to you, when even by parental figures, that overwhelmed you and just scrambled you up really bad. I'm guaranteeing, though, that the Lord, when He walks you through dealing with this unjust, undeserved treatment, and you get full of forgiveness and full of, you uproot all of that bitterness out of you, and you get to where you're a blessing. Now that's a deep foundation that God can build a tall thing on. That's a big, solid foundation. Are you here today listening to me? And Jesus actually starts out, it's funny, when He wants you to work out with the realm of forgiveness, He'll take you into the weight room, and He goes to the big weights. He said, go ahead and forgive those who persecute you and speak blessing to them. He doesn't start with the little stuff. He takes you into the weight room with the big stuff, because He's building kingdom people that are big forgivers, because that's the foundation of it. And there's two things when it comes to forgiveness. The first one is the legal act of forgiving. The second one is healing the damage that remains. Those are two different things. The Lord will heal the damage that remains in you after you've willfully chosen to be a forgiving person. And because many of us come from, like we talked about earlier, being scarred up and stomped on, and all, even though your value is there, you don't feel it. But the Lord will affirm and has a grace gift, an anointing, to cause people to come into an environment where they discover that they're so valuable to God, they have never known that they were that valuable, because everything in their life told them otherwise. But God has a place to establish inside of you. And I've made a commitment to be that place, because I'm nobody from nowhere. I didn't come from a pedigree of a bunch of preachers. I'm the only one. But God raised up someone who just kept saying yes. I love it. I have a wife that will just keep on going even when she's bashed all to pieces. It's amazing. I'm so grateful, honey, for you not falling prey to bitterness and resentment. Every now and again, we got to check our hearts into the throne room and allow God to do stuff. Isn't that true? Don't you? Yeah. You say, God, work in my life. Let's go to the next one. God tests our hearts concerning his provision to see if we'll manage our money according to his plan for tithes and offerings and savings. Next slide. Will we trust him to provide for what he calls us to do? That's a big test. And next one. God tests our heart for purity to see if we'll have no other gods before him. That happened in Joseph's life, of course. He was in Pharaoh, he was in Potiphar's house, overseeing all of the things. Joseph had a wonderful gift in administration. He was very gifted in keeping up with household details and managing and all that kind of stuff. And he was just good at it. And his gift would bring him to places. It was wonderful. But then Potiphar's wife wanted him. And he was there, and she was trying to have a sexual encounter with him, and he runs away. He runs off. He goes the other direction. He passes the test. But then she says, she lies. Everybody say, undeserved treatment. And now he's put in prison for something he didn't do. Unjust treatment. It's amazing. And when he gets all the way to, you know, he's like has this little last hope. His last hope, and after he interprets these dreams of the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker. No, he interprets these dreams. And then the guy doesn't remember him. 2 years, two more years goes by. He has this hope that somebody will get him out of there. And those last 2 years emptied him out. And then God says, his character is ready. He's ready. And then God releases the dream to Pharaoh himself. And that's when Pharaoh's servant, who had been prophesied to, and his dream had been interpreted by Joseph, was called to interpret the Pharaoh's dream. And that's when he was taken from, as we say, from the prison to the palace. He was taken from the low place because his character had been refined. His character had been tested. He had grown in his character before God. God tests our hearts for endurance to see if we'll completely obey. I just had to put that in there for us, honey. And I think the Lord keeps saying that he's going to release his presence in a greater way. We're beginning to feel that and sense that. And so in your hearts, just go ahead and begin, if you have somewhat of a prayer life, say, Lord, thank you for these coming days and the outpouring of what you want to do in touching people's lives. Amen? So let's go ahead and put the next one. Undeserved treatment is God's pathway to spiritual authority. Undeserved treatment. The next slide says, how we respond to what happens to us determines whether God can promote us to the next level of his glorious purpose in our lives. How we respond to what has happened to us determines going to the next level of God's glorious purpose in your life. How you respond to the unjust, undeserved treatment is key. There are things that God told you that he wants to do. And then a test came up and something undeservedly happened to your heart. And that's the hang up. And that not being resolved in Christ and allowing him to do the healing in you is what's keeping the vision from being fulfilled. And you want to go and make that happen. And I know there are those that try and go out and work on that, but they've got something that God has to do inside still, and it's just right out of reach. It doesn't seem to have that satisfying impact. Are you there? And God says, no, I will cause it all to happen for you. Give me everything in you. Is this a word today or what? Let's praise the Lord for a moment. Say, Lord, help me pass the test. Just go ahead and tell him, Lord, help me pass the test. Help me be and do everything that is necessary on the inside to go to the next level that you have for me. I'll be patient. I'll follow you. I'll allow you to work in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's look up, there's Genesis 50, and I want us to walk through this real quick. This is how deeply God worked in Joseph. The Bible says, then this is what happened when it talks about that prophecy about them bowing down. And I'm not going to tell the whole story. Way too long. It takes too long. We're about to close here. But I want you to know that the moment came when the famine all happened and God had given the strategy for Joseph, that way out where his father lived and all of his brothers and all that clan lived, they had to travel in to Egypt to purchase food. And so they ended up coming before Joseph. It's an incredible, intriguing story wrapped up, and I encourage you to read that on your own time. But this is what the Bible says. His brothers also came and fell down before him, just like was prophesied with those sheaves in the field, just what was prophesied with the stars in the sky, bowing down before him. They came and bowed down before him, and they said these words, "Behold, we are your servants." And that never would have happened had he not passed the test. But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear. Look at how good his spirit is. For am I in the place of God?" He's not going to rule over them and push them and squish them. Had he not had the bitterness leave his life, had he not had the pride dealt with in his life, he would have had to remember that bitterness and come against them. But look at the purity of his spirit. Verse 20 says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Somebody praise the Lord with me. Now that's a guy passing some tests now. So. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So it continues, "So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." And it goes on and says, "Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." Well, somebody has done you wrong, and you've had a thorough work inside of you. You're able to speak comfort to them because God has done something in you through it. That's weighty stuff. This is exactly what the Lord is saying for us to hear today, because it's encouragement. Why? Because we go on, and number three, God fulfills his purpose. God fulfills his purpose. The king sent and released him. That happened. The ruler of the peoples set him free. And then it says he made him lord of his house and ruler of all of his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. I put this next phrase up to kind of summarize that. Joseph was given authority as manager of Pharaoh's house and ruler of his possessions. And then he's given legal authority to bind Pharaoh's princes. Those are his sons. The bringing discipline to Pharaoh's house. Isn't that amazing? And also to teach wisdom to the governmental elders. What happened in him was so significant, he became a resource for the Lord. And this is just the vision of his personal life. What God did in him personally. But let's step back and see what God did for him for God, God's purpose. And this is where we want to dwell just for a second. Capture this. God chose to have a people through which Jesus Christ, his son, would come. And he had a little clan, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob became Israel. Israel was Joseph's dad. It's a small group. He sets up a famine, has them move into Egypt. They're in Egypt for 400 years. They become several million strong in people. God's raised up a people. He used the famine. He used Joseph to raise up and multiply a people. Wow. And then, of course, we have the next. The baton is handed to Moses. Then the baton is handed to Joshua. And it goes on and on and on. And during that season, so God basically, the bigger picture is that the famine came, God prepared ahead by sending Joseph to oversee the provisions of Egypt during that famine, and in this way, God brought his chosen people to Egypt to multiply them into a great multitude. Let's go ahead and put the last one up. So we see that God plans ahead. God develops his people through character tests for partnership with him in his plan. and God fulfills his purposes. God plans ahead. God develops you for his purpose. God fulfills that purpose in your life. Now just lift your head to him, right? Just for a moment. If you close your eyes just for a second. Lord Jesus, if you are just walking among us right now as the great shepherd, I know that you would release hope, that you would just cause people's hearts to be lifted up, that whatever pain or pressure has come over their life, whatever roots of bitterness have been involved in their life, whatever things have come to eat away the goodness of your life, whatever false constructs or lies that have been in the mind, we just pray that you would topple all of those, that you would cause there to come a wonderful and impacting grace to walk in. Praise you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would melt away the bitter things, that you cause these, wherever hell has had a grip or a painful thing on our life, we ask that you would cause it to be overthrown so that we can step into the next season. Thank you, Jesus. Father, forgive me for allowing the doubter come and speak doubt to my life. Forgive me for giving any place to the voice of the adversary to dishearten me. I repent of those thoughts. I ask that you would wash over me and wash over our congregation. There's a healing presence in the room right now. There's an anointing to heal. It's a very warm and precious healing ointment of the Lord. Somebody rejoice with me right now. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. There may be some other follow-up points of prayer. I know that once you make a commitment, and you can do what I do, sometimes I just take a journal and write down, if the Lord, I remember one time, guys, just listen to me, real big time here. I remember being asked, as God was preparing me to go into ministry, the year before going into ministry, I remember very specifically, I was having to do a teaching job, and this crazy thing happened. I felt completely incompetent to be a teacher. I was wounded by something, and I asked the Lord what it was. And it's the craziest little thing. It wasn't something that was meant for evil, but it was something that happened in my childhood. My mother came and put this lacquer on the floor in my bedroom, and she put these little wood chips down on the floor, and she put lacquer over them, and it was a nice pattern. It was wonderful. But then she put those little wood chips on my desk, and she lacquered the desk. And I couldn't put a piece of paper on the desk and write on it without it not. I had to get a notebook. And that held back something inside of me that was saying, your mom did not affirm your education. She did, but it was a lie. There was a confusion there in my soul. And I got down before the Lord, and the Lord said, the reason you feel incompetent is because somebody took away your study space. And pain began to flow up out of my heart. And I let all this weeping come out of me. And the Lord says, I'm taking away that feeling of incompetence. Aren't you glad he did? It wasn't even something, it was inconsequential to my mom. And there are things that happen to your life that are inconsequential. Nobody meant it to go wrong. But Jesus will actually say, this is holding you back. This is holding you back. This is holding you back. And you get out a little notebook like I did, and you write down the little thing, you know, and you say, Jesus, come and help me. Are you there? Let's praise him right now, because God is filling up the room with thoughts in your minds about things that he wants to unlock from your life to help you move forward in the freedom that he has for you. And the key to your healthy walk in God is to deal with these things as he puts them on your heart. And I'm here to tell you and affirm to you, as we were singing earlier, speak to me, Lord, I can hear you. The Lord has been saying some of these things to some of you already, and you just didn't know it was Him. And the Lord wants to affirm, I'm causing you to come into a place of healing so that I can cause your life to flourish in a way that it hasn't been able to before. It's like weeds in the garden. You got to get the weeds out so that the good plants can come up. Let's praise Him again. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Now, Lord God, I just pray for that release of your spirit of freedom and liberty, for wherever the presence of the Lord is, there's liberty. And now we say, Lord, we embrace your presence. We embrace your truth and the subtleness of your voice. And I ask now, Lord, your people come into greater realms of wholeness like never before. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand together. Put your hand on somebody's shoulder and said, you sure are amazing. Go ahead. You sure are amazing. You're so blessed, I can hardly stand it. Go ahead. We're dismissed. If you have other things you would need prayer for, we have some precious anointed servants of the Lord here to pray with you. God bless.